ready to receive, right? In Jesus' name, we should always come ready to receive. Hallelujah. And just in case PK's watching, everybody say hi to PK. Hi, PK. Because I have a feeling he probably is. Hey, let's see what he did last time. All right, unless he went out to lunch with some other ministers, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. All right. You'll watch it later. You're right. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. All right. Well, to go, why don't you go with me to start out with Hebrews. Hebrews 13, 6. But I want to, that's the first one we're going to go to, but what am I doing here? Okay. So what my title of my message, I'm going to find the scripture real quick here before I, Hebrews 13. All right. So one thing I was talking to you guys about is that today in our world, there's lots of things the enemy is wanting to get across to us, to all generations, not just our young people, but it's even more prominent, I would say, than when I was growing up, or some of you after me and the next ones, right? We're seeing in our world lots of different things that we're just like, whoa, we never thought we would see this happen. And it's just really kind of like, well, this is crazy. I mean, PK and I are just always like, what? Just when I think, oh, what? This is just crazy. You know, you just are like, what? Tilt, right? But our God is greater. Amen? So today we see things like, we see and hear fear just pumping out, right? We see and hear fear everywhere in our world. It's through the TV. It's through social media. It's through our neighbors. It's through our coworkers. It's through our family. It's just through everywhere you go, right? It's in school. It's in the teachers. It's just the places that you think you'd feel safe, the fear is pumping out of their mouth, right? So we're not only hearing it, we're seeing it on TV and different things. We're seeing fear pumping into us, trying to pump into us. However, I'll tell you, there's some place that we don't see fear. We don't see or hear of fear operating in God's kingdom, right? We don't see or hear fear operating in God's kingdom for the good. Now, like Avery said, there is a fear of the Lord, which is honoring, respecting, and standing in awe of his wonder and his majesty, but not the fear of torment, right? And doubt and unbelief and harassing you and annoying you and discouraging, taking courage out of you, that fear. There's just so many forms of fear. See, fear is the main component. It's the trunk of the tree. But doubt, fear, worry, those are all branches that come from that trunk. Do you understand what I'm saying? So fear is the number one tool the enemy uses. But the branch is like doubt, anxiety, fear, torment, manipulation, lies, hatred. Those are all stems from fear. Because if you really think about it, it all stems from, I don't know what's going on and I don't trust God. You think about it. That's why I'm going to act out this way. That's why I'm going to say this or I'm going to do that. Because the basic of it is I don't really trust God. Hey, I'm not here to point fingers. I got my own situation that I'm still growing in and I'm like, Lord, I believe, but help me to get the word in and help my unbelief, right? Because we're all growing. So don't ever, when me and PK are up here giving a word, we're not giving it out of a heart of, can't believe you, get it together. You know, we're saying, hey, let's just see this area. Let's just work on that. Let's see what the scriptures are, and let's fill ourselves with the scriptures that say what God says about that situation. Let's grow in that, okay? God, we just want to see you guys grow and mature in the things of God. That's what we want. We want to see less and less of fear and more of faith in God and trust in God. Amen? All right. So in that, we don't see fear in his word, right, either. We don't see fear in the aspect of God's telling us to fear or be tormented or worry or doubt or all this kind of stuff. It's not in the word. Can't show me a scripture that tells that. Because sometimes you see people, they come in out of their own ignorance. They're like, well, a little bit of fear is good. I can't find that in my Bible. And I'm going by the word of God. So if I, and I was studying about fear and looking off different scriptures. There were so many scriptures that I had to say no because I love scriptures. I'm a media person. He's always like, oh, Lord Jesus, can you write those? Because I'm like arsenal of scriptures. But that's, hey, the word is what changes us, right? So anyways, there's only the fear of God in awe and honor and standing in wonder of who he is. The Bible tells us not to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And so that's why I'm coming to share with you about the enemy's devices. And this is the title. Why should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? Let's think about that. Why should I be afraid? Well, because my mom said, you better be afraid of blah, 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 blah. Because my teacher said, this is what's going on and you better mask up. You did. No offense if you want to mask, but I'm just saying, you better do this and you better do that because blah, 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 blah. Or my spouse or my whatever. Or the TV, they said there's this many and they're focusing on the negative. That's why I need to be afraid. Okay, well, yeah, if you want to live that way, then that's the way you can live. But if I'm going to live according to what God says, and if I'm going to live according to his word, then I'm going to look in here, and there's nowhere that I can find that says I should be afraid. It says, fear only God and not man. Nor what man says, or even what they do. They do. Man does. So fear is the primary tactic of the enemy, the devil. All through the Bible, we are told, fear not, don't be afraid. It's noted 100 times, those two phrases, in the Old Testament, and 44 times in the New Testament. I think God's trying to say something. Are we hearing him? Church, come here. I'm serious. Come here. Come on. No. He's like, okay, yes. Thanks for your obedience. No. Are you listening? He's saying, do not be afraid. Do not fear. If God is saying it that much, then we need to take note that God is trying to say we need to let go of fear. Fear will only immobilize or paralyze you from reaching your goals and your full potential in Christ Jesus. Now, immobilize, fear may only, immobilize means it limits you. You're not moving forward as much. You're limited in some areas, you know, but it's still hindering you. Or it can totally paralyze you. Has anybody ever been in like a paralyzing fear where they didn't even know what else to do? They couldn't think for a moment or whatever? But the enemy, he will use fear to stop you going forward for what God has for you. Because the things that happened in your past, things you experienced, and so you're like, I'm not going there. Nope, not going to do that. Not going to walk out the call of God in my life. Not going to go to church because people hurt me. Not going to ever get married because a guy hurt me. You see what I'm saying? Anybody hearing me? I'm not going to trust people because they hurt me. Fear, stopping you, immobilizing you, hindering you, and freezing you from going forward in God. Well, I'll just do this instead. I'll just do that instead. I'll give this much, but not all the way. Man, come on. I've been there. The Lord had, you know, he has to deal with me and PK just like he's dealing with you. We're all in the same boat with God walking us through this journey. Amen? The thing is, though, you can change that. You can surrender to the Spirit of God correcting you, loving you. Come on. And saying, give this to me and trust me. I remember I was afraid to even have children. And I didn't even know it. I was afraid. And the Lord showed me, you're afraid. And I'm like, I'm not afraid. I don't know what you're talking about. I am not afraid because I didn't see it. But I did know the voice of the Spirit. And I know God loves me. And the more he nudged me and said, girl, you're afraid. And the more he kept talking to me and people kept coming, are you afraid to have kids? I'm not afraid. I would say that all the time. Oh, yes. And then I went to a conference, a women's conference, and a lady gave an altar call 3 or 4 different times saying, those who fear, and I'm like, it's not me. Finally, I yield to the Holy Spirit because he's going, go up there. My mind wasn't understanding, but my spirit understood. Sometimes you got to just shut this up because it doesn't make sense. But you know the Spirit of God in you saying, do this. I know. I knew what the Spirit of God was going to say, go up there for. And there's plenty of times that the Lord told me to do things that didn't make sense to my mind. He was preparing me. He says, I just want you to be obedient. So sometimes in your obedience, you may not understand why I told you to do it, but act out on it anyway. Even if you don't see the results of it, act out on it and do what he says, because he might be preparing you for something that you will see. You hearing me? He might be preparing you to obey him so that you will see it down the road. Come on. You guys with me?
Yep.
All right, awesome. All righty. I told myself I wasn't going to get to preaching. Okay, anyways. All right, are we at Hebrews? Yes, all right. So, Hebrews 13:6 says, so we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Compared to God, what can mere people do to me, right? I will have no fear. So that means I will to do it. I will not to have fear. We have to make a choice. Sometimes we make a choice not to fear in the midst of feeling fear. Have you ever been there? That's called courage. That's called stepping out on the word of God or stepping out in faith. We can act on the word of God even when our body's telling us, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? I don't know, but God's got me. God's got me, right? And he's got you, and he's got your family, and he's got your kids. Come on, he's got your job, he's got your career, he's got your school. He's got your life. Amen. Come on. You know, we've got four seniors, and they're going, getting ready for the next season of their life, the next step, right? And sometimes there's a lot of pressure at that point. And you're just like, God, everybody's telling me to do a certain thing, but what are you saying? And that's what I want them to understand. Learn that now. Learn that now, that God's got the plan. God's got the plan for you. And if you step that out, God's going to fulfill what he wants to do in you. So there are four areas of fear that the enemy tries to influence us to believe. He tries to influence us to believe these certain areas, and we're going to look at them in just a minute. But I want you to know we can overcome fear. We can overcome the tactics of the enemy, right? If we want to overcome fear, then we need to get the word of God in our hearts. We need to read this word, get the word in our hearts, then speak it out over our lives. And if we need to act on it and do something about it, what the word says to do, then we need to do it, right? Man, It's my neck. Yeah, this is bugging me. I had a feeling. Hold on a minute. Don't you know? Help me, Jesus. Somebody come up here. My girl, she's got me. Okay. All right. Okay. Da 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 da. Okay. Da 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 da. All right. Here we go. So let's look at Daniel 10:19 real quick. Daniel 10:19. There it is, right there. Thank you, sir. So it says, don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Come on, right there. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, be strong. And this was a messenger of the Lord coming to Daniel in a vision because he was just feeling weak and discouraged. And so the messenger came and he says, don't be afraid, for you are precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, and be strong. And as he spoke these words to me, oh God, I suddenly felt stronger. And I said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. Come on. Please speak to me, Lord, because you're strengthening me. You get those words, and there's times that you're going through stuff, and you're like, God, I need your word. Give me a word on it. And he gives it to you. And then you just feel like, yes, come on. And even more so, when you get that word and you start speaking it out. Come on, you start, no, Lord God. I thank you, Father God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath, Lord God. That I'm precious in your sight. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You start speaking the word of God and it starts strengthening you. See, right there, don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. God is saying that to you. He's no respecter of persons. He loves you just as much as he loved Daniel. He said, you are precious to God. Peace, be encouraged and be strong. And suddenly he said, I felt strength. Glory to God. And then he's like, oh, please speak more. Please speak more to me, for you have strengthened me. Come on. Amen. All right, so this is the number. We're going to look at the four areas right here. Four areas that the enemy uses. But we can overcome them, right? We can overcome them. Say, I can overcome all fear with the word of God and his love. Amen. Okay, so number one is fear of failure. Fear of failure. The enemy lies to tell you that God is not strong enough to help you succeed, and possibly it is the greatest tactic of fear. He's not going to help you to succeed. He's not going to help you to know what to do. He's not going to help you if you stumble and fall, if you go this direction or that direction, and you think you know, and then it's not quite right, or, oh, you're done for. If you make the wrong decision, oh, you're done for. Fear of failure. Well, let's look at Psalms 27, 1 and 3. My Bible says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? Come on, he's the light. So in dark places that you're not clear about, he will shine and he will show you the way. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Come on, all you need to know, God's got the answer. So why should you fear? All you need protection for, God's got it. So why should you tremble, right? Verse 3, though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. Come on, how many of you have been attacked? And I don't mean, it's in the spirit realm, but it obviously manifests in the natural. It'll manifest through people, through circumstances, through situations, even the people closest to you, even people in church. Shocker, I know. But anyway, because we're all growing and some people we're not all mature. Hey, I have an oopsie sometimes with my husband or sometimes the staff when we've been here. And I'm like, come back. I'm like, sorry how I said that. It's not quite appropriate. You know, so we can all miss it. Right? But if we just stay in the love of God and the forgiveness of God, we can operate in this journey together. We can hook arms together and walk this out, right? We can do this thing. So, and then look at Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do whatever pleases him. Come on, that is good. So when the enemy says, oh, you're not going to make it. I know you're going to plan this business, but you know you're going to fail because you don't have this and you don't have that or whatever. Or you think you might need to do you might need to go to this school, but you know you're going to fail. You're not good enough or this and that, whatever the case. God is working in you. When you give your life to Christ and when you pursue his heart, it says that he is working in you, that he's giving you the desire and then the power. That means he's given you the ability. So that shuts up the lie of the enemy right there. When you need God's ability flowing through you, he's going to give it to you. You know what? You may start out going, God, I don't know exactly what I'm doing. You know, me and PK, we didn't know exactly what we were doing when we started this church. All we knew is we had a call on our lives. All we knew is God told us to do it. We had never senior pastored. We'd only done youth ministry, college age, and you know, some associate pastoring. But it wasn't to the degree that senior pastors do. We just kind of assisted here and there a little bit. So really, we just said, okay, God, we're just stepping out by faith. And God led us. Did we do everything perfect? Do you think we did everything perfect? Oh, no. No, no, no. No, we didn't. Ask our staff. Ask Brent and Amy, Roger and Virgie, all those that have come and gone. No, I was kidding. But our heart was always meant to do right. Our heart always wanted to do the very best. And God teaches you on the way, right? I'll tell you what, as long as you maintain a teachable and a humble heart, then God can direct you where he needs you to go. But if you ever start having a proud and arrogant heart, Dangerous place to be. Dangerous place. If you cannot admit you're wrong and take responsibility for your error, not good. Not good. So stay teachable, stay humble, and surrender to the Lord at all times. Amen? God can work with that. Look at David. Yes, that's all we need to say because I got to go on. But anyways, and then Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for our good, right? Of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So all things work together for everything for our good, for those that love God or are pursuing God and are called according to his purpose, right? So that means that even if you go in a direction, you're like, I believe this is what God wants me to do. I'm stepping out. And even if you don't get it totally right, guess what? God's there to work it for your good. He's there to get you back on track. Isn't that good? He's faithful to do that. Amen? All right. Let's look Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Thank God for that. How many times do we plan the best that we are hearing God in our season, or what we're doing, right? God knows we're all in different places in our walk. We're all in different places in our growth in God. And he understands that. I'm not expecting a 2-year-old to understand what a 13-year-old understands. And God knows that. He understands where you are in your walk with God, where your growth is, and he speaks to you accordingly. He lovingly teaches you accordingly. Amen? So he knows that we're going to make our plans the best that we know how, but thank God the Lord determines our steps. There's another scripture, I think it's in King James, that says he directs our steps. Hallelujah. All right, second area, the fear of the future. So fear of failure, second one, fear of the future. The lie compels you to believe that God is unable to see what lies ahead for you and direct or guide you in every step. He can't see. I just know, God, you just can't understand. You know, you're not going to know all the things of the future. I just mentioned that a little bit. I got ahead of myself earlier because I mentioned some things. But God's got you. He's got you. He wants to direct your steps. He wants you to know he's got you. Psalms 37:5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him. Okay, there's some key components there. Commit everything you do to the Lord. That's one. So in other words, go to God with things that are important. Starting a business, whatever you're marrying somebody, going to a different school, taking on a position at work, whatever it is. Come on. Having children at the right time or whatever. Come on. All these different things. Or maybe even if it's not the right time, God, help me to be the best parent I can be now. So all these different things, right? Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Does God lie? No. Okay, then he's going to help you if you trust him. Okay. Number 3, fear of the past. This one's a doozy. Fear of the past that has come back. It'll come back to you somehow, some way, right? The haunting and annoying deception of the enemy says that because of where you have come from or your family and what you've done and what you've been through, you just ain't quite good enough. I'm unable to work this out for your good. You know, second chances are good for some people, but I just don't see it with you. It's been so bad. I mean, golly. You know, no, God's not like that. God is all powerful. He can change any situation in your life, right? Now, there might be some natural things that you got to go through because you sowed seed. But even then, if you trust God, he can redeem it, right? He can redeem it. He can even make it come out better than what you had thought, even in the natural, okay? Because that's how good my God is. I don't know about your God, but that's how good my God is. So fear the past. He lies to you saying, oh, you're not. You just have such a bad past and so much things you've gone through. I just can't make it good for you today. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if I can give you a second chance. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. A new life has begun. So don't, just tell the devil, say, nope, that past is behind me. Yeah, but Pastor Heather, after I become a Christian, I've already done some things again. God knows you're a baby and you are a young person and you might poop your pants. And he's going to have to mess. He's going to have to clean you up. He's like, come here. Dadgummit. Oh, this is. Okay, you're going to get it, though. I love you. You're going to get it right. You're going to do it. Right? He understands. But God is more patient than we are, parents. And he is going to help you clean that poopy diaper where you're not going to be doing that all the time. You're going to grow up. You're going to mature. You're not going to come around and people are going to go, whoa, that life. It's a little stinky. I don't know if I want to be around you. No, God always wants to be around us. Thank God, right? God always wants to be around us. I'm going to have to hurry it up here. I haven't done this in so long that I'm trying to get out everything I want. All right, here we go. I'm going to speed it up. So you ready? Because here comes guns blazing. Here comes the scriptures. Media. I have a thumbs up. All right, so fear the past. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Let's move forward here. Philippians 3, 13. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Come on. I press on. That means it's not easy, guys. I'm pressing. I'm pressing through the junk of what the past is. I'm pressing through, and I'm seeing what Jesus says in his word about me, that I'm redeemed, that I'm righteous, come on, that I've been forgiven, and that he has a good plan for my life, to give me a future and a hope, right? I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize, which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Come on, I'm reaching for the prize of the calling. Did you know you have a call? All of you have a call on your life to do something for God. Come on. Are we going to step into it or are we going to allow the fear of the past? Oh, well, that's what I used to be. And I just, that's just the enemy trying to immobilize you and paralyze you. I don't care what you've experienced. I don't care what you've gone through. God can redeem it and he can make you better and more anointed and stronger and more victorious. But he doesn't want to see you do that. So he's going to push you down and speak doubt into you and confusion and terror and all this annoying stuff. All right. Philippians 4:8. So what should we do then when he comes with all these things? Fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of the past. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one thing final I say is fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You're not going to get it from the world, I'll tell you that right now. You're not going to get it from TV, social media, and so on and so forth. Well, yes, some ministries post social media. That's good. This is true. So I take that back. Social media and different things can be used for God's glory. That's true. Just only follow those ones that are good, right? That are uplifting. That's right. So those are the things that if there's anything excellent and worthy of praise, we're going to think on those things, right? All right, last one of the fears that we need to be aware of is fear of comparison. Woo! This is a doozy. I'm telling you, this one was a big one for me. All my life was a big one, and I had to get delivered from degree to degree, from one degree to the next degree to the next degree. If it wasn't that I started in high school, I didn't measure up to the cool kids. The cool kids. Oh, sorry. Everybody wants to be like the cool kids. I can't remember the song, but I used to read. Anyways. Everybody wants to be like the cool kids, right? And I didn't measure up in high school. But when I came to know Jesus and totally started diving into the Word, I started seeing a different me. The me that God called. And the me that God chose and destined for purpose. And I began to grow from there. And in college, when I went to Bible college, and there was another layer that came off, and I realized, oh, okay, yeah, I can do this. God's calling me. I'm worthy. He's made me worthy unto him. And he'll equip me. And then in ministry, then there was more that came off. Because the enemy always wants you to compare. He always wants you to compare yourself to somebody else. How you look, how you talk. Man, I'd be done right there if I was just going to go by that. Because I look good right here, but there's sometimes I have moments where I'm just like, where did that come from? You know, especially after 8 o'clock. It's like, I've told people, it's like I come down on the descent. My mind's like, uh-huh. And then I just say silly things sometimes. Anybody ever been there when they're really tired and you're just like, what is that? It's like, don't talk to me after a certain time. I'm not going to be responsible for what might come out. So anyways, so the fear of comparison. So I'm not always adequate with my speech. I don't always look as good as I do today. Hey. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes I'm in sweats. I'm in my sweats. I like my sweats. Nacho Libre and me, when I like sweats. So, yes. Yeah. So anyways, moving forward, sorry. Oh, help me, Jesus. Squirrel. Okay. So this lie tries to talk you into believing God favors someone else more because it appears and sounds like that person is doing better than you are. They're more spiritual. They're more got it together, right? Then he wants you to believe that you are not good enough compared to so-and-so and wants you to believe that God has given up on you. There's no chance for you because of what you've gone through and all that kind of stuff. No, no, no. No, no. The Bible says God's no respecter of persons. Like I said last a little while ago, and his love never gives up on you or anyone, right? God believes in you. I'm almost done. So, in the Galatians 6:4 says, in the Contemporary English Version, it says, do your own work well or study to show yourself approved, and then you will have something to be proud of. But don't compare yourself with others. God says don't do it because he knows how the enemy works. Don't compare yourself with others. Well, they have this and that, and I need to have that. Or they've done this and that, and I need to do that. No, what is God saying? Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Do what God says. What is he saying to do? What is God calling you to do? Who are you and what has God made you to be and who are you in Christ and how are you going to walk that out, right? 2 Corinthians 10:12 in the God's Word translation. This is a good one. I like this. We wouldn't put ourselves in the same class with or compare ourselves to those who are bold enough to make their own recommendations. Because they were talking about there's a bunch of ministers and they were going around tooting their own horn. Well, we do this and this, and we've spoken this many times, and we've gone here and there, and we're known by these people, and we are great. Seriously, they were recommending themselves to people. So, and then the apostles were like, okay, so we're not going around tooting our own horn here and recommending ourselves. Certainly, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves to themselves, they show how foolish they are. That's foolishness. If you go and try and compare yourself to everybody, then I'm going to try and be like Heather. I'm going to try and be like Jenny. I'm going to try and be like Amy. And I pick the girls because I don't want to be like a guy. So, well, there's traits that would be good, I suppose, yes. But anyways, you see what I'm saying? We can't keep going around comparing ourselves to other people. We'll be a wreck. We got to be what God says we are. We got to be who God says we are. Okay, 1 John 4:8. This is my last scripture we're turning to. Yes, I mean it. 1 John 4:8. That was for you, honey. just to razz him a little. He's going to be like, oh, I see how you are. 1 John 4:8, it says, we know how much, now we've heard this a lot because PK has been teaching on the love of God, and I wanted to kind of tie it in so that when he gets back, I think he might have just one more session or something. Anyway, I'm not going to say that for sure because I don't know. Because he could come back and say, nope, we're moving on. I don't know with that man. So, verse 16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. So I want you to see something. We know. We got to know the love of God. We got to know the love of God for us, right? We got to know how much God loves us. Right there is one way we're going to overcome. Is with the word, speaking the word, and walking it out, and knowing the love that he has for us. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. So we got to put our trust in that love. For first of all, we got to know how much he loves us. So that's what you got to pursue. God, show me how much. I remember when I was in my 20s, I was like, God, I need to know your love. I was crying out, Lord, let me feel your presence. Let me know how much you love me, God. I got to know that love. God, show me in your word as I read it how much you love me. And one time he took me through all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he showed me how much he loved me because he showed me how much he loved people. How much he loved people. And I saw it every time he walked it out. Every time he healed somebody. Every time he was tender with somebody that sinned. I saw and he revealed the love of God when I read the Gospels. And he had me read them over and over. And I grew in the confidence of knowing how much he loves me because he loves them. And I knew he said, I love everybody the same. Amen? I love everybody the same. So if you are struggling in that area, man, start reading the Gospels. And really focus on how Jesus taught treated people, and how he dealt with them, and your love. The love of God will start, start revealing to you how much he loves you. God's love will be revealed to you. Hallelujah. So, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in that love. We got to put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And then 18, for such love, this love that you know and you put your trust in, this love, the love of God that you get to know and put your trust in, has no fear. Has no fear. So that's a big thing. You know why? Because if we really knew the love that he has for us, if we really understood and have a revelation of the love that he has for us, we would know that he was not going to let us fail. We would know that he has our future. We would know that he doesn't care about our past. We would know, right, that he doesn't want us to compare, that he loves us. And he made us fearfully and wonderfully made. He just wants to sanctify that you to be better in his purpose and his glory. Amen? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Okay. That's why it's important that we focus and learn how much he loves us. But don't forget, it's the word too. And the word tells us about his love. So such love has no fear because perfect, complete, mature love expels all fear. You know, I'm one of these people that I'm like, why expels? I mean, I kind of have an understanding what it means, but why don't they just put the word? That word expels, just to make it more clear and break it down. I put it somewhere. Oh, that's right. It means to cast out, drive out, and dismiss, or cause to leave. So when you get a revelation of God's love, and you trust in that love, it's going to drive out fear, it's going to cast out fear, it's going to dismiss and cause all fear to leave. So I think we have some work to do, right, of getting to know the love that he has for us. You got to pursue, say, God, cry out to him, say, God, I'm asking you, reveal your love to me. Through the word and through your presence as I worship you, as I spend time with you, just download it, God. Speak to my heart and get me to know your love for me. Because we know how much God loves us, then we will put our trust in that love. We'll put our confidence, our faith in that love. So in knowing God's love for us, it will drive out all fear. It's like you have this mucky, dirty, muddy water in a cup, right? Let's say you have that much fear in a cup that's big, this big. But God's just, you keep asking him and he pours, he reveals it through the word. And you're spending time in his presence. And the more that water and that word is coming up, it's spilling out less and less fear, right? The more that muddy water is getting out. Before you're just like, God's got me. And I'm going to walk in confidence. And sometimes I think people that, you know, they feel like they can't approach us. We don't mean for that. And if you guys ever feel like you can't approach me and PK, that is so a lie, the enemy, you can. But we are confident. We are confident in knowing who we are in Christ. But man, we love people. We love with a deep love. So that's a lie from the pit of hell. And don't let your experiences tell you that we don't love. You know, you've got to open your heart. Got to have a little faith to see that people do love. Not everybody was bad not everybody is the bad experience that you went through. Amen? Yeah. Okay. We love, and you can always approach us. And if for some reason you're not feeling like we're loving, just say, hey, you know, you're kind of not speaking to me lovingly. And be like, oh, sorry. Sorry about that. I didn't realize it. So with that said, so in knowing God and knowing his love for us, it will drive out all fear. So again, I ask you, you guys can stand up. So again, I ask you, why should you be afraid? Why? Why should I be afraid? He is the light of my salvation. He is my fortress. Why should I tremble? Right? We shouldn't. We shouldn't be afraid. And I'm not saying that you won't have those times, but now you know and ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to your remembrance, to know and recognize the schemes that he uses against you. Because this world is only going to have more and more fear, right? But God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy says, 1:7. But a spirit of timidity, but has given us a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline or self-control. And remember this, fear is only, if you had the word F-E-A-R, false evidence that appears real. The enemy always manipulates things to look a certain way. And then we run with it instead of finding out, right? Don't let the enemy do that. Don't listen to somebody until you know what the word says. Don't listen to anything until you know what the word says. False evidence appearing real. Fear is false evidence appearing real, right? We're going to put our trust in God. Amen? We're going to put our trust in him. We're going to look to him and his word and his promises. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to, there's one more scripture I remember I wanted to read to end. Psalm 112:7 says, they do not fear bad news. Do you think we have a little bit of bad news coming out these days? They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. Come on. Amen. And we will not fear shame, nor we will be afraid. We'll no longer live in shame. We will not fear and be afraid because God will not give us disgrace. Amen. Come on. But he'll put it on our enemies. He'll disgrace our enemies. So let's just pray right now. Father God, we just thank you.